Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome back to G-Girl. As usual, you know, I do these short, to the point podcasts. And they're going to be varied subjects around everything. But today, I think something that was on my mind that I was thinking about is, are any of you amputees? I'm sitting here, I'm eating a little treat also, so please excuse me. My husband has been an amputee for maybe coming up close to 11 years, actually. And we recently visited a friend's house who have an elderly person living with them who have a beautiful new motorized chair. So we're thinking about getting one for my husband. Or he's thinking about getting one for himself, that he should be able to use when we go to the mall, when we go to the outlet stores, because a lot of times we go places that require a lot of walking and don't require a lot of walking. To me, I wouldn't think it's a lot of walking because I have two healthy, strong legs. So I move probably at a faster pace than even a normal person with normal legs. I don't know. I just walk fast, and that's what people tell me. I don't think I walk fast, and believe me, I do try my best to slow it down, especially when I'm with my husband, but at times he does say that I walk fast. So a motorized chair would be a great addition to the family. So he put in the request on the health portal, and the primary care made him a doctor's appointment. Because I guess he has to see him, and I don't know. They have to write out a prescription for these motorized wheelchairs. So I guess the doctor just want to look at his mobility and want to see why he wants one now as opposed to getting one earlier years, which to me, it doesn't make sense. You get one when you think you need one. Of course, now he's 11 years older, so just By laws of nature, of course, he's moving slower now. So this would be the perfect time to go ahead and start positioning himself to use these kind of devices whenever we see fit. It's just something good to have in the car because you never know. You go places and you don't think about the walking that we do as people who have the two good legs. You don't even realize how much walking you do when you go to different places or different events. But this chair is small and it's narrow, so it can fit in a lot of tight spaces. So I'm hoping that the doctor will write the script and it would be something that we don't have to fight. Because a lot of times, medical things, you have to fight with the doctors or the insurances, because they might watch him walk and say, you don't need one. So we don't know what they're going to say. So for those who are listening, just keep your fingers crossed for us that everything goes well and that we're able to get one of those chairs. I know it's a process, but I would say by the end of September, right? So that gives almost 2 months to get the paperwork in, pick one out. And I'm curious what the copay is going to look like. Because I work for the state and my health insurance they're pretty good. They're average. They're average insurance benefits. But I'm just curious how much the copay is going to be on the chair. Because I would guesstimate the chair is probably around $1,900 to $2,100. So if anyone out there that's an amputee who has gone through this process, who already has a motorized chair, I would appreciate any kind of feedback that you have. We're kind of excited. Should we be getting our hopes up because the doctor is going to give us a hard time or the insurance company is going to give us a hard time? We don't really know because this is the first time that he's asked for any kind of medical device, actually, since we've had it. You know, other things are coming. You know, we already have the walker. We have a cane. Those things are pretty standard, but sometimes a motorized chair would do so well. I'm telling you. Oh, my God. We are crossing our fingers here and hoping to goodness that everything goes well. And that's leading me up to another subject that I'm not going to go into today, but I'm just going to touch on is the surgery, the botched surgery that happened almost 11 years ago. And after a while, you come to a place and you come complacent and you just kind of accept it as norm because you have no choice. You can't keep fighting everybody and suing everybody because of the medical mistake, but you do your best. We did our best, and it is what it is. We've moved on, and we're just making the best of it. You know, we try to get out, and we do things, but like I said earlier, this was 11 years ago, so my husband is 11 years older, and now you're starting to see differences in the prosthetic and how he moves it, and now it's feeling heavier because he's in a different space just by his age. So it's just a lot to think about because sometimes, you know, you go back 12 years ago before any of this happened and you wonder to yourself if you should have even gotten the surgery, if you should have just waited or if you should have gotten more opinions. You know, you can beat yourself up just thinking about any kind of botched medical procedure that you have. You always would have, could have, should have, right? But we've learned to just move on. We do talk about it. We do dwell on it. We do toss the doctor's name out. And we already know we would never let him operate on me, my husband, or my daughter. My other family members, they live out of this area, so he wouldn't be touching them anyway. But for the three of us, we know we are done. We are all set. He will not be touching any of us. I don't even want his colleagues working on us because they're all a bunch of phonies, a bunch of crooks. But anyway, that wasn't my point today. I just really wanted to talk about anybody else. I amputee, want to come on and want to talk. You know, my husband is always looking for other amputees to talk to. He's a member of a beautiful amputee support group here in Springfield, Mass. They meet every 2 Wednesdays. They meet at different places in Springfield. They tell their stories. They share medical things that they use to help alleviate the phantom pains. They talk about different physical therapists that they use to help them be more mobile with their prosthetics. And they just talk about life, how it is in life moving now since you have an amputation, how different it is, but you're still here. And you still have your family, and you know, you can still do most of the things that you used to do. You might do them differently, you might do them slowly. Some activities you might not even do at all because you know, you always, to me, in the back of his head, has the fear of falling, which is that's legit, that's a real fear. And I don't think he'll probably be an amputee for 20 years and always still thinking about that. Okay, that's all that I have today. You can feel free to leave any comments. Please subscribe. And like I promised, I do have the guests that are going to come on the show. I just haven't gotten a date because I'm still so busy at my full-time job that I can't even phantom anything else. But things are starting to die down there. So I hope by the time I have some guests coming on the show, we'll have a little bit more subscribers and people will be commenting and people can show a genuine interest to our small, intimate, personal podcast that we have. That's what I say to people when I ask them if they would like to come on. I let them know it's small and an intimate podcast, just very few people at this time. But I think that, you know, if we get a group to me of 25 people that subscribe, I think I would be happy with that small group. We could throw questions out. You know, people can come on. We could talk about everything that we want to talk about. It doesn't always have to be medical related, even though it's G-Girl, formerly known as Medical Moments 917. But we still do have the Medical Moments 917 on Instagram. It's on, we have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. And also, it's a website for Medical Moments 917. that you can go on and you could read everything that happened. You could read the story, get the dates and all of that beautiful information. And I want to thank all of you who have subscribed. Thank all of you who have listened. Some people may have listened by a fluke because they don't even know who we are, but they just happened to be on the podcast and they saw it and they thought, hey, this might be interesting. So I'm just going to listen in every now and then. I'm going to try myself to be a little more consistent and try to post maybe every Monday Madness or something. We'll come up with a funky name, Medical Madness or something like that. But I need to get more consistent, and I think that will help build the subscribers. Okay, well, again, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for caring. Good night. All right, I'm just going to do a quick continuation of the motorized wheelchair and the steps you have to go through to get it, whether you're amputee and they can see that you are clearly missing your leg. You're asking for a wheelchair that's motorized and you haven't asked for one in 11 years. For 11 years, you have been using your walker, your body strength, and your cane to make yourself mobile within buildings. Now, after 11 years, you go to your primary and you say, look, you know, it's getting a little bit more difficult for me to move around and I would like to get a motorized wheelchair. So you would think to me, logically, the next step would be that the primary would write you out a script so that you can go to a medical supply company and pick out a chair and be done with it. No. What happens next is the primary writes you out an order to go see a physical therapist for them to evaluate your walking. And I guess they will decide if you should get a chair or not. You know, this infuriates me because I pay so much a month for medical insurance. And we don't use the medical insurance that much in this household. We're pretty healthy. We go for routine checks and so forth. But we're not ones that's hypochondriacs, that's always running back and forth for the doctor to write us a script for this or that. So the one time we want to get a chair, which my copays or my monthly premiums paid for that chair 10 times over from 2012 to today, 2023. Are you kidding me? You have to let a physical therapist judge if you need the chair or not. So now what? You go there and the physical therapist may look and say, oh, you're walking pretty well on this prosthetic. I don't really think that you should get a chair. I mean, worst case scenario is we will buy a chair out of our own pocket if we have to. But that's what the durable medical equipment is for under my healthcare insurance. It's for durable medical equipment. So I'm going to keep you guys informed on what happens after the appointment with the PT, what the PT says and how it's handled from that point on, because these insurances and these primary care doctors and acting like it's their own personal bank of money is really starting to get on my nerve. I'm telling you. Thanks for listening.